today. The Lord will bless you for it. If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you one of these schedules here, and you can read it through by that. You don't have to read it that way. Read it however you want to. I was going to change memory verses, but Brother R.C. almost prayed the verse. So I think we ought to go through it one more time. Where's it at? Colossians 3:10. What's it say? Not bad, not bad. Everyone now, we're going to go Colossians 3:10 and have put on the new man. That's what he prayed about, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Together, Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new man. Good, again. Great, one more time. Great. Until it was accomplished. It is salvation. We don't have a dime in it. We don't have a thing in it. It was accomplished way back then. And when it was done, he said, it's finished. It. Until it was accomplished. It was a business transaction. He took my sin. I got his righteousness. We traded. It's the only time I ever won. I trade a lot, but I always lose. It's the only time I ever won. Took off the old coat and put on the new. Brother Teddy, how about praying for us? Amen. Thank you. Okay, we quit in 1 Peter chapter 4, and we spent a good bit of time on verse 1. We didn't quite get finished, and I need to review a little bit, make sure we understand what we did last week. 1 Peter 4, 1 says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us, there we are again. It's one of the big themes that's been running all the way through this book. It's for us, for us, for us. As far as I can see, he did it all for me.
Right.
It's for us, for us. He suffered in the flesh, so arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, ceased being selfish. It's not we're never going to sin again. But we acted like him whenever we weren't selfish and suffered for others. But that middle phrase there, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, is what we spent a good bit of time on. And that looks to me like a New Testament command. Arm being an action verb right there, to put on the armor, to arm yourself. And then it says, tells us how to do it, likewise with the same mind, with the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God did not write two Bibles, and things that are different are not the same. And what we looked up was some examples of what of mistakes that man-made versions have done. And one of them, we didn't actually technically look them up in class. We showed you the results of looking them up, showed you where to look it up and how to look it up. But I do want to remind you that when I say look it up, for a change, we looked it up in the Greek. We don't normally do that. And in Genesis 3:16, what we found out is, let me read it here to you once. It says, Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over it, over thee. And what man has did in some versions, they went in there and added a word contrary. Thy desire shall be contrary to thy husband. And we saw that in the Greek, Hebrew. Here's an example in Hebrew in the Old Testament, and where there's an addition, where man added a word, and there's no Hebrew word for contrary in the whole book of Genesis or Exodus. You don't find any evidence for something like that until you get over to Leviticus 26, the contrary chapter. And that's in the Hebrew. That's in the Hebrew. What you've got there is an exact copy of the originals, a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. So let me read to you a copy of the originals. Go ahead and open up your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events as a result of prophecy and came from God and not from man. And let's read what it said in the originals in Genesis 3:16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Properly read, that's Genesis 3:16. And we had another example in the Greek, Matthew 18:11, and here it's an omission. Here in Genesis, man messed up and made an addition. And in Matthew 18:11, they messed up. Man messed up and put an omission. And when we looked it up, the results of looking it up in the Greek here in Matthew 18:11, there's 13 words in the Greek. And in your reliable copy of the historical documents right here, let me read you a copy of the copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of the originals. It says in Matthew 18:11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." It's 13 words, and there's 13 words there in the Greek.
Right.
Man can't just go through there and erase that.
Right.
You can't do that. "Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." It's the same mind. One Bible, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Things that are different are not the same. God wrote one Bible. He didn't write 400. He didn't write 100. I'm from West Virginia, and I know that much.
Right.
I don't know very much. You can tell by looking at me, I don't know very much. But I know that much that he didn't write two.
Yeah.
He wrote one.
I know that.
He wrote. And things that are different are not the same.
Amen.
Well, that's our review. We actually read last week the first six verses. Let's look at verse 7. 1 Peter 4:7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Now, here, I believe it's talking about the sins of others. See, I don't need to go around and tell everybody your sins. But that's not talking about mine. I'm not supposed to cover mine.
Right.
Let's look at that in Proverbs 28:13. "He that covereth his sins." Now, one, there's many ways we do that. But one way we cover our sins is renaming them. For instance, I could tell you, "I'm an alcoholic." But the truth is, I'm a drunk. You can rename them if you want to. That's one way of covering. But we're not supposed to do. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." That's what I'm supposed to do, is tell the Lord, not you, tell the Lord, "God, I'm a drunk. I need help. I need help." I need to confess them to him, not cover them up. Cover, that's for others' sin. I don't need to go around telling everybody else you're a drunk.
Verse 9.
We're in 1 Peter 4:9. "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." Now, back in the day, they had many opportunities to give hospitality. I guess that's what you say, to give. Because for a couple hundred years, 100 for sure, maybe 200 years, there were no church buildings. And they met in houses. And there'd be many opportunities for you to feed someone or keep someone overnight. And it says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." And then in verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift." Well, I wonder what that is. "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Have you received him? It was accomplished on Calvary. It was accomplished. He accomplished it. Have you received him?
Yeah.
Remember, the greatest gift that ever came on Christmas Day. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
Have you unwrapped him? Have you received him? Do you have him in your heart? The gift. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same. Let's see, that's going to be the gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what I do the rest of my days, I just go around giving him out.
Yeah.
Giving him out. I received him, now I get to give him. Receive, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God made it pretty simple. Man complicates it. But it's really pretty simple. Receive the gift, then give him out. Verse 11. It's going to help me with arming myself with the same mind up in verse 1. It's going to help me tune up and sharpen up here. It says, and if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You know that oracles is one of my favorite words. I just like to go around saying it, oracles. It just sounds like I know something. Maybe I don't. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Well, that's the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God. It's going to sharpen me up. So I can arm myself likewise with the same mind. And if any man minister, well, right there's the work of God. Let him do, that's work, the work of God, it as the ability which God giveth. Well, I know that I can't do it. I am not able. Right. But I've read over and over and over again that He's able.
Right. Amen.
So here's the work of God. We've got the Word of God and the work of God. Why do we need that, Brother Rick? Well, it says that. Tells us why. That God in all things might be glorified. Well, here's the worship of God. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Tying right in with Wednesday night again, the worship of God. Who can worship? Let's look and see. I just accidentally found this week. Isaiah 13:3. Who's going to be the ones that's worshiping anyway? Isaiah 13:3, again, right in with Wednesday night. I have commanded my sanctified ones. Anyone in here like that? Anybody sanctified, been sanctified? I've called my mighty ones. That's after you get saved and sanctified. Ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. HIGHNESS. Are you glad this morning that He's high?
Yes.
I'm glad He set it up the way He did, that we're a piece of dust, a worm, and He's high. Sanctified ones are glad about that. That's the ones that's going to be worshiping over here in 1 Peter 4:11. The sanctified ones. The sanctified ones are ones that rejoice in my highness. It's a pretty good deal we got in on. He's high and holy and lifted up. When Isaiah saw Him that way, he figured out how low he was. How low. And Brother Rick needs to figure out the same thing. Go with the Word of God, the work of God, and the worship of God. Even the oracles. By doing this, I'm arming myself likewise with the same mind. It's helping me do the New Testament command in verse 1. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Okay, now, verse 12 starts getting a little rough. That was the fun part. If you didn't enjoy, I'm sorry. It's going to get hard right now. Here we go. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Now, beloved, it looks to me like, well, it's for beloved. It's for you. It's for me. As though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not strange if you're going through a trial.
Right.
Everybody in here, you either just came through a trial, you're in a trial, or you're getting ready to go through a trial.
Right.
That's life. That's the way it is. And especially, beloved are not exempt. We're not exempt because we're in the family.
Right.
The family goes through it too. Verse 13, but rejoice. I can't tell you that's what I do. I'm just reading it, okay? Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, when that glory is revealed, that's again, we're right back to Wednesday night. We're getting glorified here. It's going to be when we get our new body. We'll be glad then. Well, it's just a short time. Just a short time that we're here. Rejoice. And then verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Boy, this is hard. This is hard. I don't know if I'm happy when that happens. I'm supposed to be happy. The Bible tells me I'm supposed to be happy when this happens.
Yeah.
For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified.
Right.
Glory. Suffering brings glory to God. Let's look at it in Matthew 5, 11, and 12. I've said many times, I can stand anything but pain. I do pretty good if it don't cause pain. Matthew 5, 11, and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. Are you kidding me? And persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, I need to make sure that it's false. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, not regular glad, exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Right.
Back to 1 Peter 4, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. See, I need to make sure that it's not Rick's fault that I'm suffering for Christ's sake. So many times it's self-inflicted.
Yeah.
It's my fault. I can't lay it off on the Lord at all.
Right.
It was Rick. It was Rick. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian. Now when they first started calling us Christians, it wasn't a compliment.
Right.
It was a slur.
Right.
It was a slur. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. See, if I suffer, or when I suffer, it's supposed to be because of my position, not because of my disposition.
Right.
So many times it's my fault. It's the way I said it. Oh, bless God, it ought to be this way. Kim knows this fella. She's told me about a time or two. You probably don't even know him. But he comes to town and he's got a Jesus hat on. And I'm just going to say he's a complainer. And Kim would always tell me, I just wish he'd leave a hat at home. You know?
Yeah.
If you're going to be a whiner and a complainer, leave the hat at home. Leave the hat at home, okay? 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, we know what the end's going to be. But now we get judgment too. Verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, the righteous are saved because it was accomplished. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, we know that. We know. Let me just go ahead and say, I've suffered less than my sins deserve. We've suffered less than our sins deserve. We have. We have. So what we need to do is clean up. We need to clean up. Brother Rick needs to clean up. Everybody needs to clean up. Verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful big C creator. Capital C creator. I just need to trust God. Obey God. So we trust the banker. Trust the pharmacist. Trust the doctor. We trust everybody else. I need to trust God. Need to trust God. I don't need to trust everybody else. I need to trust God. But the Lord did pick faith, something we're used to, something that everyone could do. The young'uns downstairs can exercise faith. to exercise faith this morning when they got on the bus. They trusted the bus driver. They trusted there's going to be some workers here that love them. Everyone can exercise trust. Everyone lives by faith. It's in different things. Sometimes we have faith in the paycheck. Sometimes it's faith in the government. Sometimes it's faith in a Chevrolet or something like that. For the first 300 years, the church was in the world. But then Constantine came along and made a law against that persecution. And then he brought the world into the church.
Right.
Pretty much given credit for starting the Catholic Church.
Right.
But our ancestors, Bible-believing Christians, were fed to the lions, burned at the stake, had boiling lead poured on them, were branded with hot branding irons, had oil poured over them and set aflame, limbs tore from them by machines and animals, wrapped in skins, fresh skins, and set out and then hunt them down like with dogs. Man and dogs hunt them down. The Book of the Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs. But during this time, what's written to them is said, rejoice.
Mm-hmm. Think about
that. I'm just saying, we got it made.
Yeah.
We've got it made. Surely to goodness I could find something to rejoice about, couldn't I? Surely to goodness I could find something to praise Him for, couldn't I? Something that went good. Surely there's something good, isn't there? Surely, Brother Rick could. I'm going to start working on it. I bet you I can find something. I don't need to think it's strange that I'm going through trials. I need to really brace, be prepared for it. Peter, he had preached and they locked him up. Angels come by and let him out. He went out and preached again and they beat him. And they didn't know what to do with him. They beat him and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame.
Right.
Suffering's just part of it. The Lord suffered. It wasn't fair what the Lord went through. The Lord didn't get a fair deal.
Right.
So we're not going to either. Then after that, they were daily in the temple and every house. They ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. And the authorities didn't know what to do. You lock them up, and they get the jailer saved. You turn them loose, they turn the world upside down. You beat them, they become partakers of Christ's sufferings and rewards. You kill them, and they get promoted to glory. They didn't know what to do. The answer is revival. We need to rejoice. That's the answer. That's what's going to get the other ones saved. They're going to say, how come you're so dad burn happy? What's the matter with you? You're going through it. Well, then you can tell them. You can tell them. You can tell them. Suffering's to warn the world. And it's a result of Christian activity when I've been obeying and doing what I'm supposed to do. That's when it happens. So then I get to testify.
Yeah,
that's good. Suffering's designed to warn the world and to cleanse the church. It warns the world. What if Ruth's husband hadn't died? I mean, that's a funeral. Why did Dad die? Why? Well, that's so Ruth could go up here and marry Boaz, and then one day we're going to get the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to get David first, and then one day we're going to get Jesus. If Ruth's husband hadn't died, we wouldn't have the book of Ruth. We wouldn't have King David. We wouldn't have the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we just got to go through some things. Sometimes it's what God wants. What if Job hadn't went through it? We wouldn't have the book of Job, for an example. What if David hadn't been chased down by Saul and they tried to murder him, I don't know, 7 different times? We wouldn't have the book of Psalms. Some of Paul's greatest writings was written in prison. don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Don't think it's strange when it comes down my street, when it comes up my driveway. I don't need to think, oh, this is odd. It's odd. Don't think it's strange. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Lord himself could have called 10,000 angels. The thief said, save yourself and us. Well, he could have. He could have saved himself, but he couldn't save himself and us. He said, I'll just stick it out. I'll just tough it out, he said, for you and for me. That's why. I think we've got time to start chapter 5 here. Let's delve down here a little bit. 2 Peter 5. The elders. This is not just older people, probably the preacher, maybe the deacons, maybe leaders. The elders which are among you, I exhort, mostly the preachers, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Okay, preachers, feed the flock. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. And that constraint, that's the only mention, the only time that word's used. Not that way, but willingly. Not made to do it, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind. Neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, the elders, the elders. Here we see, let me just go ahead and read 4 here. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, when Peter first met up with the Lord was interested in making him a fisherman, an evangelist, if you will. Now, here at the end, he's trying to make a shepherd out of him, a pastor, and bringing Peter right along. The responsibility we just read there to feed the sheep. And then Peter had been an eyewitness. He saw the Lord get ridiculed. He saw him mocked. He saw him cursed. He saw him questioned. He saw others doubt him. He saw the unfair trial. He watched it, the farce of a trial. He saw the unbelief and the rejection. Peter saw the denial and the rebellion that's in our hearts. He saw the false accusations and false charges. He saw the sufferings in the garden. He saw the beatings of the Lord. He saw the mockery and the death on the cross. He also saw the empty tomb. He also saw that part. And for these reasons, Peter's writing this. He's trying to exhort, telling us to exhort the flock, to encourage the flock, feed the sheep, guide the sheep, seek those who are lost, maybe leave the 99 to find one over at Nallon beside the road. Protect the sheep, restore the sheep that go astray, reward the sheep for obedience, and keep the sheep separate from the goats. Pretty good charge, pretty good responsibility. This is serving as a shepherd, the responsibilities of the shepherd, the rewards of the shepherd. Now, it hadn't been that long ago we went through these crowns, so I'll just go over it real fast here. This crown of glory, that's one of them. There's an incorruptible crown given to those that master the old nature. We looked up the verses last time. How you doing on that old nature? I'm not doing that great myself. There's a crown of rejoicing given to soul winners.
Yeah.
How you doing? I'm not doing that great. There's a crown of life given to those that successfully endure temptation. How you doing? I'm not doing that great at it. There's a crown of righteousness given to those who especially love the rapture. Hey, that's getting easier. It's getting better there. Especially love his appearing, the second coming. Hey, it's just about time. We done heard it this morning. I done heard it 3 or 4 times.
Right.
It's just about time. Time's short. What Brother R.C. prayed.
Yeah.
It's just about time. Are you ready? Are you excited? You looking forward to it? There will be a crown for you. There will be a crown if you're looking forward to it. There's a crown of glory given to faithful preachers and teachers. I'm not doing that great myself. I don't know. I hope you're doing better than I am. Okay, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Let's see. Now, the elder, that was the preacher, wasn't it? Okay, that's two. Let's see. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. That's a little bit easier. Yeah. And be clothed with humility. Oh, Brother Rick. I tell you a good place to put that on be at the cross. Trade the old coat for the new right there. Be clothed with humility, for the Lord resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. I don't have a lot to say about that, so I better just say amen. We're about out of time anyway. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. Lord, help me to arm myself with the same mind that You got. I think what You're thinking. Thank You for the mind of Christ. Thank You that You didn't just write it down, but You preserved it. You didn't just inspire it, You preserved it, God. And I thank You for my own personal copy. In Jesus' name.